This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
What are you ready for in this hour of our DJV programs? Thursday, the 28th of May, you know that. A couple of days and May will be kaputsky. We'll be into June where it's busting out all over. Hooray. The flowers. What is it? The old April showers bring May flowers. Lots of flowers this year. And therefore, Victoria has lots of, and do we all, actually. Victoria seems to be affected by it more than anybody else with all the pollen and the things. You see that yellow film on your car or wherever else it can collect. And you breathe that stuff and it just plugs you right up. In the long run, probably doesn't do you, I don't know whether it does you harm or good. It just is uncomfortable, unpleasant, and you don't, you know, if you really get it badly, you don't feel well. So now, and it's even hard to take a deep breath under the circumstances, right? Without coughing and puking, stuff. Okay, well, that's a wonderful way for us to get into this hour of our program, examining a variety of things. Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Doug Steffen on the DJV program. So this business with George Floyd and what happened, the murder, because that's really what it was, the protests not only in Minneapolis, Jennifer, but you had some in Los Angeles last night as well.
There was people actually a takeover of the 101 freeway. People were jumping and destroying cop cars. It got pretty violent for a while in Los Angeles. So if you missed the story, just to bring people up to speed, if you haven't heard who George Floyd is, George Floyd was a black man who was eventually killed by police officers in Minneapolis, and the images are pretty grotesque. There was a police officer who took his knee, pressed it on Floyd's neck. He was laying on the street, begging the police officer to stop because he couldn't breathe, and the police officer continued on until he lost consciousness. He was taken to the hospital, and he later died. Now, there were four police officers involved with this. All four of them have been fired, but certainly these images, the further they spread, they're prompting outrage, and they should. I haven't heard one person defend the actions of these police officers.
Indefensible, yeah.
I mean, because a lot of times, sometimes you can get an image, and then we hear a story that comes out, and we go, okay, maybe this is what happened. You try to build a story to say, okay, this could have been what the situation was, but if, by all accounts, and there were people witnessing this as it happened, George Floyd was not resisting arrest. He was following the orders of the police, and he was still victimized in this way.
Why was he detained in the first place? I'm not even clear on that.
They arrested him because he supposedly had a counterfeit bill in a convenience store or whatever store he was shopping in.
So this fellow in the store called the police, and the police chased this guy down. Is that it? Four police officers going after somebody presenting an alleged counterfeit bill?
The cops showed up and handcuffed him and put him on the ground, and then the one cop kneeled over him. He was already handcuffed on the ground, and that's when he kneeled on him with his knee and basically just cut off his airwaves. I think it was one of the videos caught, like, at least 7 minutes. He had his knee on the guy's neck. But, you know, this actually brought up something yesterday for me that I had forgotten. We don't know if he knew if it was a counterfeit bill or not. We don't know, but that's why the police were called.
I've had counterfeit bills. Have we all had them at one point in time or another?
I remembered that 2 years ago at Christmas, I went into Starbucks and I had what I didn't realize, but I had a counterfeit $20 bill.
Mm.
And I tried to pay with it, and the girl behind the counter, I guess, thought it looked weird or whatever, and then they have like a scanner, and then she called over another person, and then the person confirmed that it was a counterfeit bill. And both of them handed it back to me and said, oh, here, you got to be really careful because there are a lot of these in circulation around the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, I'm so sorry. And so I, you know, took it, ripped it up, put it through it in the garbage, and walked out with my coffee. I never in a million years thought about the fact that I was a white female doing the same thing that maybe this guy was doing. We don't know if he knew if the counterfeit bill was fake or not. But the fact that four cops showed up for him and I was handed it back and given a happy little, hey, just be careful, and that was what happened to me. And I'm sure all of us have similar stories where we take it for granted. And, you know, around the same time that happened to me with the counterfeit bill, those black businessmen were arrested in the Starbucks in Philadelphia or wherever it was, and they were basically waiting for their meeting to start, and they had done nothing wrong. And then it turned into a Starbucks shutdown for sensitivity training and all kinds of stuff. I actually committed a crime. If you present a counterfeit bill, I actually committed a crime. And if they wanted to arrest me, I easily could have been arrested. And it's the difference of how we treat race for the same thing.
On the other side of it is,
blew my mind thinking about it yesterday. I'd totally forgotten about the incident. This guy lost his life for a similar thing.
But why? How would you know if you? We have cash exchanged all the time on the farm, and normally it's the most prominent bill is a $20 bill. And we go through the bills and count them, bring them to the bank, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't know by looking at it. We quickly go through, you know how you count money, $100, one another, $200. So how would you know that's... why would you be arrested?
That's necessarily the issue, because here's the thing. Regardless of
well, there are
what
a lot
the
of
circumstances...
Here, it seems to me. There
well,
are a lot
regardless
of
what the circumstances were before the arrest, all the witnesses on the scene are saying that this guy did not resist arrest. So it doesn't matter what he did, what they thought he did, what he was accused of doing. The fact is, if someone is not resisting arrest, then police do not use lethal force. If someone is resisting arrest, someone's running, if someone's chasing, then you think, okay, police are in the moment, they're making a snap decision, and sometimes they get it wrong because they're human beings. But this was not the case. This was the case of an abuse of power, an overuse of restraint, and the question is, why and what is going to happen next? And now the FBI is investigating all of this because it just doesn't look good to anyone. President Trump was briefed on it yesterday, and he asked the DOJ to look into this and the FBI to look into this to make sure that it was on the up and up, which I think most people will say it was not. And I think these cops need to be held accountable. I don't know that being fired or losing your job is enough for someone. I think at some point somebody has to stand trial and answer for this. Now, the protests broke out in Michigan certainly yesterday, and there were a lot of protests protesting the police and the treatment of this. Black Lives Matter got involved in Los Angeles, and this to me is what is not helpful, and this is what causes even more problems than probably harm. You have not one person that I have heard, at least outwardly, publicly defending anything that the police have done. Yet in Los Angeles last night, there were hundreds of protesters who were downtown in Los Angeles. They were destroying property. They were jumping up and down on police cars. They were threatening police. And then they even took over the freeway. One person was like rolling off the hood of a car. He ended up getting hurt. They had to take him into the hospital. And the rest of them shut down the 101 freeway for a short amount of time. Now, it's not about the shutdown of the 101. Who cares? There's not a lot of traffic right now anyway. But the issue is, how do we solve this problem as a society? And these protests...
Not by doing
when
that.
I mean, I like protests for
a lot of things.
Well, I like protests, but I don't like destroying property, hurting other people, because I think that what it does is just, it's counterproductive to the message that you're trying to send. A peaceful protest tells people one message. A violent protest sends a totally other it just sends a totally different message. It's not helpful. It's not productive. It actually causes people to turn away from your mission. And so, you know, I hope in this time that people will take a moment and think about the most positive way to assert their message instead of destroying property.
So there are a couple of other things that fit into this in terms of how it's handled. One of the things it seems to me that's a consideration is the frustration in general with people today because of the corona thing and how it shut down many people's lives. So this either becomes a mechanism for expression, an excuse for expression, whatever it is, not necessarily is it appropriate, it's inappropriate, But then you start thinking about some of the other circumstances that present themselves like this all too frequently, and the more time that passes, the more of this stuff seems to be going on. Remember Eric Garner back in, 2014? Mm-hmm. The same sort of thing happened. You'd like to think there's some progress going on here, but how do you deal with this? Is a huge societal problem.
I take issue with this.
Issue with what?
Here's the thing. I take issue with that statement because what irritates me most is the statement that you would think progress has been made. Progress has been made in this country. That's fake news to say that progress has not been made in this country. This country, by and large, is not a racist country. In fact, it's the most progressive one on the entire planet when it comes to race and people's rights. We have to deal with the bad apples. We have to deal with the people who find their way into positions of power and who use it to hurt other people. That's what we have to do. It is not, again, this is not productive to sit around and say that the United States is racist, because it's not.
I don't really appreciate, and police are not all bad. Jennifer, you saying that it was a fake news. For me, it's not. In my existence, in my lifetime, in my experience, this thing has become much more of a problem as far as I'm concerned, whether it is your neighborhood or
whatever. What about the civil rights movement, Doug? You're going to tell me it's worse than it was in the
50s? The civil rights movement in 1964 was brought about by this stuff, and I frankly don't see, there are a lot of important changes that have been made. That's a good point, but still, there's no excuse for any of this stuff at any point.
I'm not making one, but I'm saying,
I don't think it's progress. I think the fact that there are so many people who are acting and reacting and outrageously handling situations like this. What the hell are these people trained to do when they go to...
This is a bad person who needs to be convicted.
No, I'm talking about the police.
For his sins.
I'm so sick.
That's what I'm talking about,
listening
this person.
To this stuff. I had a fire on the farm last night, and there were three or four police officers there as we were tending or dealing with putting the fire out. And I was talking to them about this, and what was going on in our community has a black mayor. And there's a buildup of steam here because of the way she's handling things, and some of it has to do directly with being black. She's not helping the situation, and there are a lot of other people in positions of authority and power that aren't. There's too much sway one way or the other. And at some point in time, we need to realize that we are pretty much all on the boat here together. And wherever it happens and however much it happens, I don't like measuring. I'm not into, this stat says that stat. And it just sickens me to see people. Part of it is the news media and the coverage and the sensationalism and all that other stuff. But for God's sakes, these people are supposed to be trained. It does sicken me.
Yeah, this is not, look, this is, the argument is not whether or not this guy was justified or whether this should sicken you. This should absolutely sicken you. These images are horrifying. But
why didn't the other three cops stop him?
Right. These are all great questions. And was it a herd mentality? What happened? But I don't believe that all law enforcement are bad. I think by and large...
Nobody's saying that they are.
These
That's
despicable human beings
too.
That we... No, but these despicable people that we saw in Minneapolis make it harder for law enforcement to do their job. It makes it harder for law enforcement
no
in Los Angeles because
that.
Now they've got people trying to shoot them, jump on their police cars, all of this stuff. This is what
that
I'm saying.
That stuff is stupid. There's no
reason
for that
None of this is productive.
Either.
And by saying... By pouring gasoline on the fire, are saying that, well, we might as well just give up now because this is racist and the police are all racist and this is a racist country. No, it is not. We are better than this. We should demand more from the police officers. We should hold these people accountable and we should move on because this country is actually the best one on the planet for dealing with people who are racist. And that's, I get tired of it because by saying we're just a racist country,
so what gets, what's getting fixed?
It makes you shrug your shoulders and say, well, there's nothing we can do to change it but go out and shoot people.
The Eric Garner situation. What's improved since this thing happened to him in 2014?
Here's the thing. There are people that are murdered every single day. There are people, black people, white people, brown people, who are murdered every single day.
The cops shouldn't be the
ones doing it, though. But by evil. There are going to be evil people, whether they're wearing a uniform or not. Just because you're in a uniform does not mean you're going to be a superhero.
Problem.
Sometimes there are evil people. And
my
whether or
problem
not
with
you
this
can figure out how to weed them out, I don't know. But you're going to have to deal with them when we see them.
We're not
how many
dealing
cops
with
do their
we're
job well
training,
every day?
We're not training people properly. For this to happen, there's no excuse
this was
for it
evil.
To ever
there, there was, this was not right. a training issue,
I'm,
though. Accidental
I'm
training.
21
this is evil.
After the hour. Good conversation.
frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Music itself sounds kind of weird because this whole thing, it just seems weird for me. Steven, is it Draws? Is that how you pronounce his name from the Flaming Lips?
I believe so, yeah.
Draws, yeah. Steve Berlin of Los Lobos, drummer Scott Amendola, all premiering a new score that they wrote for Cecil B. DeMille's film The Ten Commandments, the original Ten Commandments, and they're releasing it today at 10:10 Pacific time, and I'm wondering why. The premiere is part of Dawn, an all-night virtual celebration of the Jewish holiday Shavuot. And I think that's how that's pronounced.
The what?
Shavuot. S-A-S-H-A-V-O-U-T. Dawn is featuring a mix of music, comedy presentations, conversations designed to unpack the mysteries of the Jewish calendar's best-kept secret. This is a movie during the silent era. This was the original Ten Commandments, Cecil B. DeMille's original Ten Commandments, separated into two parts, the first of which told the story of Moses and the exodus from Egypt, culminating in the delivery of the Ten Commandments on the top of Mount Sinai. The second story, a contemporary story about two brothers, one who lives his life by the commandments, the other who does not. Drodz in Berlin and Amendola wrote the new score for part one of the film. Along with Drodz, Berlin, and Amendola, the Dawn lineup will feature appearances from Carl Reiner, Norman Lear, Michelle Watkins, Gabby Moskowitz, Tiffany Schlein, and The Kasher vs. Kasher, a new podcast from comedian Moshe Kasher and his brother Rabbi David Kasher. The event starts at 10 o'clock tonight, that's Eastern Time, 7 Pacific Time, and goes to the 29th. So
it's interesting when you see the Ten Commandments, there's a teaser video of it out,
yeah,
with this score, and
yep,
it works. This,
really?
And this is a black and white movie from 1923, but this,
right,
new, like, trippy kind of score, it actually goes with it in a very weird, bizarre way. I've never seen the whole Ten Commandments, but a lot of people are, this is kind of buzzing on social media.
You
so
mean the original
people,
ones? Because they're the other one that
yeah,
was
yeah, the
made.
Original, well, I haven't seen any of them, all of them, but I've seen bits and pieces of the DeMille one, so to have it set with a new score will be kind of interesting. People on social media talking about watching it. I'm sure a lot of people are going to get very stoned to watch it because it's pretty
well,
good.
Well, it sounds like a trip out. Yeah. It's, It's just, I don't know. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. And I can't.
Well, any black and white movie is kind of dark, I think, just anyway. Even if it's a happy movie, it kind of has like a, I don't know, a certain tone to it because of the black and white. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, Charlton Heston was the star of the talkie, Ten Commandments, that probably was made in the 1956. It was made in 56, so, you know, you want to blow somebody's mind, let's talk about this with Chuck Curry. Our movie man later on during the day. 26 after the hour, Laurel Canyon, a two-part docuseries airing on May 31st and June 7th on Epics. Features new interviews with everybody from Jackson Brown, David Crosby, Linda Ronstadt, Roger McGuinn. Only the images you'll see on the screen are vintage ones from the late 60s and early 70s. Feels more immersive, says director Allison Elwood, who also made the 2013 documentary History of the Eagles, which is really quite a good one if you haven't seen it. I thought that was really very special. We wanted to keep them young as well. We didn't want to be cutting them to 50 years later because it takes you out of the moment. Photographers Henry Diltz and Nurit Wild took most of the snapshots, with Diltz saying, "I was so lucky to be smack in the middle of all of this with a camera in my hand. Become a mystical place like Camelot." Laurel Canyon pulls back the curtain on the mythical world and provides an up-close look at the lives of musicians who lived there. Now that's more, was it Studio City? Which side of Laurel Canyon were we talking about, do you think, Jennifer? Which were?
Probably Studio City, I would guess, right?
Yeah,
or
so.
Sherman Oaks,
yeah.
That area.
Yeah, that's what I would guess as well. Featuring the music of Joni Mitchell, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, The Doors, Linda Ronstadt, Eagles, and many more. So this is going to be on, this is, when is this going to be? Actually, this is the 31st, so it would be this weekend, I guess, right? Through
yep,
next
the
31st, week?
Yeah, 31st, and then a week later is the second part on Epics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you're from that era, maybe you'll dig it. It might even be good for people to expand their mind by looking at it if you're not from that era. 29 past the hour.
When you see the Southern Cross for the first time,
how to internally motivate people. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. External motivation comes from the outside. Conversely, internal motivation comes from the inside. Research shows that although external motivation can be helpful for the short term, internal motivation lasts much longer. So, how do you internally motivate others to get them to do something of their own volition? Well, there are three straightforward steps. Step one, acknowledge how others feel. And I mean really validate them until they actually feel validated. Step two, help them see as many options as possible, including what the consequences of each choice are. And then, the all-important step three, completely respect their freedom to choose whatever they want. Because if you choose it for them, it's no longer internal motivation. So that's it. Those are the three steps. To learn more about motivation, visit drchristianconti.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
More than 100,000 people in the United States have now died from coronavirus. Johns Hopkins University researchers saying nearly 1.7 million Americans have tested positive for it. Worldwide, 5.6 million have tested positive, and more than 352,000 have died. Democratic U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi suggesting that both major party conventions should not be held as planned this summer because of the continued pandemic.
I don't think there's anyone who would say that tens of thousands of people should come together for a political convention, no matter how great an ego trip it is for somebody.
That was seen as a thinly veiled reference to the president's push for North Carolina's Democratic governor to declare this week that the Republican event planned for August in Charlotte would not be forced to reduce capacity. And this is USA Radio News.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But beware, not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That is why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients, American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now at 2020safe.net and order your liter bottle and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster of $14.95 value free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
The Trump administration saying from its point of view it can't certify Hong Kong's political autonomy from China any longer, a move that could trigger some sanctions against China from the USA. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said he's officially notified Congress that Hong Kong is, in effect, no longer autonomous from mainland China. Pompeo is required under a law granting Hong Kong special trading status to certify that it retains a degree of freedom and independence from China under the One Nation, Two Systems arrangements. It's been in effect since 1997 when Britain placed its former colony under Chinese rule. But after the Chinese Communist Party last week proposed a far-reaching new security law targeting pro-democracy protesters and foreign influences in Hong Kong, Pompeo told Congress he could no longer certify the city's autonomy.
And despite Republican opposition, lawmakers in the U.S. House made history yesterday, taking the first vote by proxy. Lawmakers voted on a bipartisan bill about human rights abuses by China against a Muslim minority there. Around 70 Democrats took part in the proxy voting, even as a Republican lawsuit is trying to stop it and will continue to challenge that method of voting. The rules change was greenlit by the Democratic majority over concerns with the continuing coronavirus pandemic. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Page two of this hour of the DJV program, Smart Conversation, Smart Talk. I like that. This is Smart Talk. Good. We're a powerful organization here. This is the DJV program. Jennifer Horn with her thoughts and ideas. Jennifer is, along with Victoria Keelan, the cogs in the wheel here on the DJV program. Doug, Jen, Victoria, before we get on into the COVID thing, I want to spend a minute, not that I'm trying to throw gasoline on the fire of our discussion that we had in the last half hour about what's going on in Minneapolis and around the world. It is kind of race-related. But I also think there's a bit of overkill here with this woman who was obviously affected with something. What did you call it yesterday? Ellen, Karen?
She's
something?
A Karen. Yeah.
Karen.
The lady from Central Park is here.
Right.
Oh,
okay.
Her, oh.
So now the Commission on Human Rights is launching an investigation into the incident. For me, it seems...
This is too much.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It's so overblown.
Yeah.
The guy told her, like, the guy was reprimanding her about her dog. She flips out. She goes crazy. Now she's lost her job. She's banned from Central Park. And now the human rights thing, I mean, believe me.
Yeah.
This woman, the way she was yanking her dog around on the leash is enough for me not to like her anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think anybody does. But does it really constitute all of this? I mean...
No. No.
It's a waste. It's a waste of energy. It's a viral video that people are bored, and so they go, oh, wow, look at that lady.
Well, and that's why I said kind of what I did about the riots in these various cities. Part of it is that people are just bored. That doesn't make it right. It just is.
And I think this kind of stuff, I think it's a very different situation with the police involved.
I'm not suggesting it's about the police. I'm suggesting that it's about black and white and somebody who's gone over the top for whatever the reason. This is clearly way over the top, way beyond the beyond, if you will, for me. Now,
You know what, though?
I don't know what that means, but okay.
I actually have a theory about this lady. So, because I think we all know this lady.
We know this lady. Yes, we do.
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. So here's the thing. So this guy, who is a highly educated man, out there bird watching, like how much trouble can a bird watcher cause? But he was obviously tweaked off at her for, you know, for whatever she was doing.
And if you look at the video,
the dog was off the leash.
He was right to be, of course, but he said something and she flipped out. I think it got racist after she got angry. I don't think it was racist at the beginning. I think she was furious that he called her out on having the dog off the leash. And then all of a sudden she just starts spewing stupidness because she just got herself. I mean, you could see how angry she got herself.
Right, but if someone in a heightened state of emotion goes right to racism, then that's showing exactly who they really are.
But here's the thing. What's the first thing people do when they're angry? They do something with your appearance. You're fat, you're skinny, you're white, you're black. I think people automatically, because they get so furious, it's the first thing that they can think of to try to hurl an insult at you. I believe that. I don't know.
I get angry a lot, but whenever I have been angry, do you call people names when you're angry? No. I don't fight with other people other than Lewis, but no, I don't call him names. But I think she was obviously a racist, and in a million years it never would have dawned on me to flip the script. She admitted that she deliberately then went to the race card. My brain does not work that way.
She absolutely went too far, but in watching it, you can see her just tune up in her anger to that point. Don't you think
that that's anger that wasn't necessarily about that one guy?
I think she doesn't like to be told what to do more than she's out there looking for.
I think we're assigning a whole lot of stuff onto her, and I don't know. She was called out for something. She was in the wrong, and she didn't like that a black guy called her out for it. That's what it boils down to.
So now the government investigated
and called the cops.
Yeah. Wrong. The whole thing is wrong. Okay, so that's that update. Now, to the COVID-19 circumstance, the cases increasing a little bit, mostly around places where there has been more openness. The beaches guidelines, I see some signs. Follow recommendations for health and safety guidelines. Maintain proper social distance. How do you do that on the beach? Are you conscious of it? I suppose you ought to be.
Very conscious of it.
Circumstance. But just the data here, very interesting. And this is to be expected. It is going to happen. It's going to get worse again. It'll go up and down and up and down. I predict 2 or 3 times over the course of the year. That's just what's going to happen. So you can say, somebody will say, oh, we opened up too soon. Other people who are running small businesses who are starving are saying, well, that's, part of the price we have to pay. And meanwhile, I still am not satisfied, frankly, on my own side of this. They were holding China accountable. I don't feel it. I don't sense it. I don't hear a political groundswell of support to bring American businesses back here. I don't get it. I don't feel it. Do you?
I don't think because we're not there yet. We still have people on ventilators in hospitals.
What's that got to do with going after the Chinese? Can't we do two things at once?
That's the reason. I think right now, if you're in a state that's been hit the hardest, like New York and New Jersey, we're still focused on how many deaths the governors have to report each day and how many new cases. And there are still new cases every day. We have about 1,900 new cases a day in New Jersey.
I'm not talking about local stuff. I agree with you there 100%. Victoria.
On the federal level, I don't know. They still can't even seem to agree on an infrastructure bill or... you know, or trying to figure out if there's going to be another round. If there's going to be another round of stimulus payments or small business loans extended, that's the stuff that they're hopefully at least addressing right now. I think we all want to see China held
accountable. The reason that there's a pause on the stimulus is that the hope is that as things get back up and running again, that the economy is going to push back into gear, because occasions and signs of hope that that's what's going to happen. The stock market looks good. People seem to be more eager than I thought they would be to get out
there. Boy, the real
estate market
is there.
Booking travel.
And I talked to my real estate pal in Los Angeles, and he's busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I was thinking that this was going to cause a crisis in California's real estate market because it's so overinflated with the prices. Yeah. It's not. I mean, things are still pounding along. So I think the hope is, why continue to put ourselves in debt and print out money to hand out to businesses that can actually start functioning on their own if they can actually get back to work?
Depends on the business. The radio business is not in that in that department, but really, well, he just sold.
I think there are actually glimmers of hope for the radio business.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to point me in that direction, please? Yeah.
Yeah, I think more people are listening to our media and word at the beginning of this.
It's not about
that. More people have.
It's the listenership is up in huge increases in listenership. The listenership to this program and other, especially conversation programs, up 25%, 30%, 35%, 40%. Yeah, no, it's great for listeners, but the value of advertising because of businesses not being sure about where they're going has deflated. And you look at all the three big radio companies, they're all either going to or are close to either being taken over by another entity or going bankrupt again. That's just the way that it is. That's the way the cookie's crumbling, if you will, at this point in time. And again, I am not satisfied that we are going after China. The political powers that be in Washington, I think that's where this has to start, although maybe there is something that can be done statewide. I'm not disagreeing with what you said at all, Victoria, regarding what the locals are focusing on. But I am concerned about what's being done in Washington, or maybe better put, I'm concerned about what's not being done or what isn't obvious in terms of cowing to China again. No.
Isn't there the first big purchase that China has to make coming up soon? Maybe
food.
Maybe the federal
farmers.
Government doesn't want to push ahead too far until they make that purchase, and then after. I don't know. I mean,
that's the situation I've been talking about that Trump's in right now, is that this phase one is rolling out of the trade deal, and I don't think he wants to get into a trade war with China right now, but certainly we're pushing down that path because China keeps putting the pressure on our allies like Australia and places around the world, essentially. So at some point, if China does not start to play by the rules, which we probably will see them not, maybe they're getting the benefit of the doubt now, there's got to be
stronger action. I wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt. No. I give them no benefit of the doubt. None. Zero. So what's this Mike Pompeo declaring that Hong Kong is no longer autonomous in China? Why the timing of that announcement?
Because the Chinese Communist government has taken over. For a while, Hong Kong was getting financial aid because it was autonomous from China, but that's no longer the case. China is now running it. That's been one of the key issues. People have been asking Biden and Trump about this all along. What are you going to do? How are we going to push back because China is, you know, overreaching with their power? And Biden said, well, I kind of let them do their thing. I don't know that I would get involved. I don't think the U.S. wants that kind of conflict. But obviously, the first step is to make this declaration. That's what Pompeo did to Congress, I think, yesterday. And that means that they'll start defunding the programs that were being sent to Hong Kong, because obviously we don't need to subsidize the Chinese government.
Huh. That's yeah. Anybody thinks seriously that ought to be the case? If anybody in government, one person, gives that any credibility, they should be fired on the spot, immediately. There is no place for helping China in any way, shape, or form, in my book anyway, in my world, not at all.
Well,
not
now we'll be able to see. Now they're going to have action, and they're going to have to make the decision to defund. Let's see what they do.
What did you start to say, Victoria?
Hong Kong is so much more visible because of the free press and things like that, and it's just a different sort of society, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but for the images that we've already been seeing with all the protests, hundreds of thousands of people protesting in Hong Kong, this is what it's led to, and we've already seen so many horrible images, human rights violations, so we may have to step in on a different level at some point, because these are just blatant human rights violations.
That's typical, but everything the Chinese are doing, or the Chinese government is doing, is so blatant, using that word, the power grabs, the coming up with this COVID thing and what it ultimately was aimed at doing, how it's disrupted. They mishandled it, certainly, but they don't care about 2 million people who died there. They don't give a damn about that. They want to have their power and influence continue to increase around the world. And if we roll over to that, then we are lost, and as far as I'm concerned, as the number one power, the Chinese will win, and they're already winning, because look at how this thing has shaken out, and they haven't backed down at all, as far as I can see anyway. Today, we celebrate National Hamburger Day. How do you like this for a segue serenade? America's most iconic food. Every May 28th, we celebrate Hamburger Day. Americans eat, listen to this, 50 billion burgers a year. Those poor cows. Originating in Hamburg, Germany, the hamburger, as we know it, was developed in Seymour, Wisconsin, which is a town that's still famous for its hamburger heroics. There's a lot of delis and diner owners, not only there, but all across the country, that claim their establishment is responsible for inventing the burger. None of that is true. However, there seems to be some consensus among historians that the food that we call a hamburger gained popularity at the World's Fair in St. Louis in 1904, and I think that's true. The event also came as the invention, the St. Louis World's Fair, gave us the ice cream cone. Yum! Hot dogs, hamburgers, and ice cream. What could be more American, what could be more summertime than that? Hot dogs. And you know what they have in common? All of them? Ladies?
They're not
hot
good
dogs.
For us.
No, that's not what they have. Well, No, they aren't good for us at all. But they're good. They all come from cows. Okay? Got it?
Well, hot dogs are pork.
No,
or it's a combination.
The beef mixing. Depends on what. They're all beef hot dogs that come from Nathan's. Who knows, because Nathan's is controlled by the Chinese company that owns Smithfield pork producers in our country, also owns Nathan hot dogs, so who knows what's in them anymore. And why, you know, if I say that enough, maybe people stay away from buying Nathan's hot dogs, stay away from anything that's Chinese, anything. I told you the story yesterday about how I needed some tubes for tractor tires on the farm, and I went to the tire guy, and I said, where are these tubes made? And he said, China. I said, I'm not buying them. Yeah, he said, well, I don't know where to find the tubes. I said, please find tubes that are not made in China. So you just got to keep it up. You got to keep that focus. All right, speaking of focus, Jen, what's on TV tonight?
Well, tonight on television, The Council of Dads. I haven't watched this show yet, but I've heard some good things about it. So this will be on NBC tonight at 8 o'clock. On Fox tonight, it's The Osbournes against Tyra Banks for Celebrity Watch Party. That's at 8 o'clock. My friend Robert Irvine, the chef, does Restaurant Impossible, a new episode tonight on Food Network at 9 o'clock. And I'd also say Blind Spot. Pretty good show. New tonight,
yes,
on
NBC
at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. They used to pair that with a Blacklist. I thought that was a fairly good. I don't understand NBC on Friday. Who even cares about that Dateline show? I would be putting on Blacklist and what do you call it together later in the evening for whatever the reason they don't do that. So, all right, I'm not programming NBC, but I ought to be. It's just another job that I should have, ladies. Let's make a note of that. It's 10 before the hour on the DJV show.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from 6 different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
53 past the hour, Tech Talk time on the DJV program. Doug Steffen introducing Victoria Keelan, who's here to do the honors, first of all, with Google and their business connection. I'm always suspect of Google, even though I have Gmail. I just don't like them. But what's this all about? Is this another reason for me to like them or not like them?
This is a good thing. Google now knows that clearly people are in a lot of states, and for the last at least month or so, people have been buying a lot of things online. And if you're in a state where you may have been hit harder by COVID than others, you are still going, people are going to continue to order things online and not necessarily go to places in person. And gyms are not open yet on the East Coast in most states. And so there are yoga studios, same thing. So Google, what they're doing now, they're adding a line. When you search a business in Google, they're now letting businesses add an additional descriptor to let the person searching know what online offerings they have. And so it's a great thing. Instead of having to go to each individual website, if you're searching for yoga studios and you're looking for an online video that they've done, instead of going to every single website, you'll now know within the search results which yoga studio has online classes. So it's actually a great thing. It's great for restaurants especially because it lets people know right away if it's if they have their own delivery service or if they're actually signed up to use Grubhub or, you know, DoorDash, one of the ones we've been talking about controversially recently. You know, they keep adding restaurants without actually telling them. So within all of these search results, we're now they're calling them attributes. And so you'll get an extra line of a descriptor for all these businesses. And for small businesses, businesses, especially whether you're a standalone restaurant or a boutique or whatever, this is actually it's a great thing. So I'm happy that Google is now, they've been experimenting with this kind of stuff, but I'm happy that they're moving forward. And they've even expanded a tool called Reserve with Google, so you can actually book the appointments directly from the Google search listing. So you don't even need to take that extra step to go onto the website of the company. You can do it a direct connect right from there. So, yes, this is a good reason to like Google today.
All right, well, thank you for that. The Snyder Cut is happening. Let's find out what that is.
The Geek Out.
It is happening. We're getting the Snyder Cut. What is that exactly? Zack Snyder is the controversial director who is now getting to show the world his original version of the DC Comics movie Justice League, which will be streamed on the new HBO Max. Snyder left during production after a family tragedy, and in arrived J.J. Abrams, who made big changes, and his finished product was largely criticized. Now it's being used as a promotional tool for a new streaming service. Snyder will be allowed to finish his version, which was already supposedly over 4 hours long, and it could be divided into chapters, but it will certainly be Snyder's dark and grim style. The Snyder Cut of Justice League is due to arrive on HBO Max in 2021.
Dell has tech solutions, whether it's working from home, streaming, or gaming. Check out XPS and Alienware laptops that are redefining what's possible with 10th Gen Intel Core processors and other top brand electronics. Call 800-BUY-DELL.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans and Rocket Mortgage. During these challenging times, our commitment to providing you with the best mortgage experience remains. We understand that hardships may arise, and we're prepared to help. Mortgage rates remain near historic lows. If you think that now is the right time to refinance your mortgage, our home loan experts are available to help 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at rocketmortgage.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 33.
All right, let's get to Microsoft's new app, Victoria, that's going to help you keep tabs on your children's use of the Xbox.
Mm-hmm. Yep, this is a good one. A lot of parents, especially now with kids being schooled from home for the rest of the school year and even through summer school, this is something that I think a lot of parents are kind of pulling their hair out. A lot of parents I know who have younger kids, they try to set limits, but if you're trying to do your own job and the homeschooling, I think a lot of rules have just gone out the window. So Microsoft's Xbox Family Settings app, a long name, that's the new app that will allow parents to really have control, whether it's through their Android or their iPhone. They have an app that they use right on their phone. It limits how much use the kids can have of the Xbox One console, also Windows 10 PCs, but not a lot of kids play video games on them. And then using the app, parents can create child accounts, they can set limits on the screen time per day, they can even filter the content based on their child's age, which is a really good thing, and they can view daily and weekly activity reports on how much time their kids are spending gaming. The other good thing about this is that they can also adjust who the kids can communicate with, because as you're playing video games, like in the case of Minecraft, they can talk to all their friends who are also playing the games in other places, and that's been a big source of lots of, you know, pedophile activity. So it's great that kids can, or that parents can limit their kids from that.
Good move on their part. Yep, that's a good move. All right, thank you, Victoria. It's Doug Steffen.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Frontsight, America's gun training destination.